Good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. Bright and cheery faces. I see some smiling faces out there. That's good. Amen. I'm going to begin, and I don't always do this. I'm going to tell you a story, and for some of you, you may cringe when I start to tell this story. You're like, I couldn't do that. Well, between you and me, I'm not sure I wanted to do it either, all right? But the Lord really put it on my heart to do this. So what I'm going to tell you is a true story. It just happened this past Monday, but I have to go back about 5 or 6 weeks, and it begins with a group text that I sent my 5 adult children. So I sent them a text and said, hey, this is your dad. I'd like to meet with you. And so immediately after that, I get all kinds of responses. Why do you want to meet with us? You know, are you going to die? Are you, they're coming up with all kinds of things. And I said, no, I just want to meet with you. I just want to talk to you about your lives. And so then more responses. Do you think my life's not right? You know what I mean? They're just going off all kinds of different directions. And I began to explain to them that the Lord had put it on my heart to meet with them. And I wanted to talk to them about their life and their upbringing and just to see, you know, what happened. In other words, did I do well? Did I not do so well? You know, what was some traumatic experiences, maybe some good things that happened? You know, I just want to talk to you about your lives. And I said, you know, no outlaws. That's my way of saying in-laws. You know, no husbands, no wives, no kids. I just want my 5 kids. And they're like, is mom coming too? I'm like, no, mom's not coming. Just me and you guys. So even at this point, none of them are responding back to yes, they're going to come or not. So I had to sweeten the pot up. And so I said, and free Chinese food, whatever you want. And they're like, I'm coming. So they all, you know, food does work, all right, if you want to get your sibling, you know, kids to come. And so it worked. So some of them began to respond. One of them said, oh, I'll make sure that I bring all my childhood trauma to unpack. So these are my kids. You know, I just love them all. And they're all different personalities and everything. And the reason why I said that some of you might not want to do this, you might be afraid of what your children or maybe your relatives might have to say to you if you called that meeting. But one of the things that I did with my kids growing up was we were pretty open about stuff. And so most of the stuff that we ended up talking about were things that we had already brought up, different events. But so some of the things that came up, which I didn't know, one of my children said that they were around 10 years old, I wasn't there. I was on the road helping an evangelist at that time, and I missed his birthday. And for him, that was one of his traumatic experiences. I'm like, it's just a birthday, you know. But for him, it was a big deal. Another one was my poor daughter, Rachel, when she was about 8, 9 years old. We still go. We travel to Canada to visit family. But back then, you know, they're all little kids, right? So we got 5 kids, us 2, in a little minivan full of luggage. So if you've ever, and a dog. All right, so you can imagine, you know, literally full to the roof, you know, trying to do things. And the kids had to stop, like, at every rest stop. I gotta go. And so we stopped at this one rest stop, and I was a bit irritated at the time. And okay, hurry up. So they jump back in, the door slams shut, and I start going, leaving the rest stop. And one of the kids starts screaming, "We're missing one!" So I look in my rearview mirror, and I see little Rachel standing at the curb with her head down, feeling that we had abandoned her. So obviously that came up as one of the trauma things, and we all were able to kind of chuckle about it. I'm like, hey, I didn't leave. I just drove ahead a couple hundred feet, you know, just for you to. So the point is, a lot came out during this discussion, you know, a couple hours we spent together, the good, bad, and the ugly, so to speak. And one of the things that they said, which I was surprised, was this, that though I wasn't perfect, in fact, they readily admitted I made my share of mistakes, that what they knew was that they were cared for and that they were loved and that they were encouraged. And that was kind of the takeaway that I took from that. And the Lord had me do this. You know, I didn't plan on doing this, you know, meeting with my kids and doing all that. The Lord had put it on my heart. And I was after you, and I was saying, Lord, you know, why did you make me do that? You know, because, you know, essentially opening up my heart to whatever might happen. And he said, son, you're still doing the same thing today. It's just the kids are the congregation now. And if you've done anything wrong back then you don't want to be doing the same thing wrong to them. In other words, if my thinking wasn't right with my own children, then it's going to impact how I preach, how I teach, how I treat others. And so I realized that through that God was using them to speak to me, to speak to you, and to talk about our thinking in life. You know, coming out of that conversation with them, I realized that I messed up quite often in some things. But my kids always knew that they were cared for and loved. And it's my prayer here that with the leadership here, that you feel the same way. You know, we may make mistakes at times. We may not be 100% accurate and perfect on something. But then when it's all over, that you know you're cared for and loved, just like Jesus loves us. Amen? So I want to talk about this thinking a little bit today, because here's the thing. The title of what I'm talking about is The Battle Within, and the idea of acknowledging the truth in our lives. And for that to happen, our thinking has to change. And let me take a survey. Is everyone here perfect in their thinking? Put your hand up if you are.
Perfect.
Not a hand up in the place, including mine. Why? Because none of us are perfect in our thinking. In other words, there's always something that needs to be tweaked or changed or adjusted. That's the truth of it. In fact, it's going to be that way until we cross over from this life into the next. Having said that, as each day goes by, as we submit to the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of His Holy Spirit on the inside, our thinking should get better on a daily basis as we're transformed in Him. But listen to what the scriptures have to say about this. The Lord is speaking in Isaiah 55. He's speaking through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. And the Lord's speaking. He says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." This is a pretty profound scripture. Basically, the Lord is saying, look, you don't think like I do. You don't act like I do. But here's the thing. He wants us to begin to think and act like Him. In fact, the word "my thoughts," when you look that up in the original language, it actually is talking about the plans that God has for us. So basically He says, my plans are not your plans. In other words, I got higher plans. I've got better plans. You see, each one of us have agendas, have ways of thinking in our life, planning in our lives. But the Lord says, I've got something better. And it doesn't mean you're going to throw out everything that's in your life. I'm not suggesting that at all. But what I am suggesting is that we're open to God's direction for our lives. Because it goes on and says, neither are your ways my ways. That word way means to be on the road. And so literally, He's saying, look it, as you think, then you'll be on the road. And so I don't know about you, but how many people want to be on a good journey with Jesus? Okay, for that to happen, for us to physically have a good journey with Jesus, it begins with our thought life. For example, let me give you an example today. You came to church. Now, did your body just automatically get out of bed, slither out of bed, and you got dressed and did all the stuff, and you just showed up at work or church, I'm sorry, and said, oh, how did I get here? That didn't happen to any person here. But what happened was, in the morning, one eye got pried open, or maybe neither eye was open yet, and a thought occurred to you. I think I'll go to church today. And then your body said, I don't want to go to church. I'm feeling really comfortable here. And then there was this little bit of a battle, right, between the two. And finally, you crawled out of bed, you got ready, and here you are today. So what happened? A thought led to an action. And it's the same in our lives, that as we begin to think and do what God's calling us to do, it will lead to a different outcome. Amen? And that's a challenge for some of us at times. We get caught in certain routines and certain grooves of life, not realizing that God's got something better for us. Because why? His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. Does that mean that He's in heaven? He's like, yeah, I'm higher than you. He's not meaning that. What He's meaning is it's better. It's better not only for Him, it's better for you and I as well. And so His thoughts, His ways are better. And God gives us the ability to know that. In fact, in Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says this, that God has given us the mind of Christ. And what does that mean? Because of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, we have access to the thoughts of God. Now, that doesn't mean that every thought that comes into your head is God. All right, I just want everyone to realize that right now. Don't think that, all right? But rather, that you have access to the voice of the Holy Spirit to speak and guide you, amen, as it lines up with the Scriptures. Okay, so God made it clear that I needed help with my thinking, right? Leading to new ways in my life. So, how did the Lord do this? Well, Jesus entered the world to change our thinking, didn't He? Now, how many people know the Christmas story? You know, Jesus was born in a little manger, right? And He grew, and then, you know, he was about 30 years old, began his public ministry for about 3.5 years, and then he was crucified. How many people know that story? All right, true story, all right? How many people also know that that wasn't when Jesus was born in a manger? That wasn't the start of his life. You know, that was the start of a physical life. In other words, that was the first time he inhabited a human body, all right? But Jesus is God. He's always been, way back in the book of Genesis. In fact, when it says that God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, who was that? It was Jesus walking with them. All right, who was it that walked with Abraham when he talked about some different things that was going on? That was the Lord Jesus that was walking with him. Who wrestled with Jacob? That was Jesus. Who was on the mountain, on Mount Sinai with Moses, all right? You know, when that big cloud of fire was there and smoke and billowing smoke, all of that business. It was Jesus. In fact, Moses had such a profound encounter with Jesus on Mount Sinai, that he said, I'm not going to leave this place unless you go with me. And what did the Lord say? My presence will go with you. You see, your thinking leads to truth. That's what God wants you to know. And here's the thing. Truth is a person. And that person is Jesus. I don't know whether you've ever thought about that. You know, sometimes you might think, well, the Bible is truth. Now, how many people believe that? Bible is truth. It's absolute truth. Yet it's interesting, when Jesus was speaking to the Sadducees and Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, he said, look, you guys know, I'm paraphrasing, but he says, you guys know the word inside and out. And yet in knowing that, you don't even know who I am, yet the word speaks about me. And so here's the thing, for us to know God's truth, for us to begin to think right ways, then we need to know the person of the word. And I wonder whether at times that, especially here in North America, but around the world, whether we've been introduced to the Jesus of the Bible. Or maybe we've been introduced primarily to a prosperity Jesus. Or maybe a healing Jesus. Or maybe some other thing. Now, does that mean that God doesn't want to bless us? He does. Does God want to heal? Yes, he does. But our lives are not focused upon that. Our lives are focused on the truth that he came to save us from our sins. Amen? And to have a place established for us in heaven, that when we leave this life, we go on to the next life. And can I tell you that when Jesus walked the earth, it was messed up. The thinking even of the religious leaders was messed up. There were two groups, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Now the Pharisees, they believed in angels and demons. They believed in the afterlife. They believed a lot of things that we believe today. The Sadducees didn't believe in life after death. They thought that that was it. And that's why they were sad, you see. That's how you can keep separate, remember the two. They literally, you know, talk about a sad group. And so in a sense, what they did a lot of indulging now, because their attitude was, hey, I'm not getting anything after. There's nothing to live for, so I might as well do everything I can get now. And so a lot of times they fell into a lot of horrendous sin, even though they were, quote, leaders for God. And Jesus came into that. Why? To speak truth, to change their thinking, to change our thinking. So I want to pick up an account of this. And let me just set the context for this. Jesus has been ministering for 3.5 years. You read the Gospels, essentially that's 3.5 years. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are some of the similar accounts. Some are overlapping, but basically the life of Jesus during his public time. But then he gets arrested. He goes before a guy by the name of Caiaphas, which was the chief ruler over the Sanhedrin, which was the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And they wanted to kill him, but they couldn't. Why? Because the Romans were ruling over them at the time. And so what happened is they had to take Jesus to the Roman governor, Pilate. So we're going to pick up the story there. It is in John chapter 18. John 18, beginning at verse 33. I'm reading from New King James Version. Then Pilate, he's the Roman governor, all right, entered the praetorium. That's just a fancy word to mean a palace, and specifically a judgment place in the palace, all right, and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Verse 37, Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And then 38a, the first part of the scripture, Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Well, so here we have Jesus. He's literally a few hours from being crucified, and he's being, you know, interrogated by Pilate. And in fact, if we go on and read, Pilate goes out and says to the crowd there, he says, "Look, I find no reason to condemn this man." So even Pilate didn't think that he should be crucified, but we know he's convinced differently later on. But what I want to focus on for a minute is what Pilate said in response to Jesus. Jesus is talking about the truth. He came as a witness to the truth. And Pilate asks this question, "What is truth?" Now, different theologians, when you read about this, some say that Pilate was kind of jesting. He was just mocking in a sense of Jesus. But the context doesn't say that, because here's Pilate going and saying, "Look, I don't think this guy's done anything wrong." So it seems to me that Pilate, there was a certain amount of sincerity when he said, "What is truth?" You know, he's under Roman rule himself, doing things he didn't really want to do probably. And here he is judging a man that hadn't done anything wrong. And yet, in the end, he's going to condemn him to die. So he asks that question, "What is truth?" Here's the question I have for you. What is truth? Is it, "Therefore I think it, therefore it's true"? I hope not. I hope not, because for most of us, we think a lot of crazy stuff. How many people have thought of something crazy this day? My hand's up. Thank you for your honesty. The rest of you are lying. Do you know that you're in church? Come on. You thought something crazy. Somewhere along the way, you thought something. Might have been a quick little blip, but it was off the hook. You know what I'm saying? If anybody knew, they'd think, "I don't know about that person." Here's the thing. We think a lot of different things that come into our heads, sometimes involuntarily in a sense, right? But it's what you do with them that's important. And the thing is, for us to honor God, we have to walk in His truth. And we have to begin to acknowledge it. And the problem is, in the society we live in today, it says this. Society today says this, that to be a good person, you have to accept what everyone else believes. Do you know that's a lie? Now, here's what the Bible says. You have to be loving and caring for everyone. But that doesn't mean you accept everything they think and do. Back to my five kids, you know, in the interview that I did with them, you know, they talked about some of the times that I came down hard on them, where I said, "Look, at what you're doing is wrong." You know, and I would say, "This is what's wrong. But I love you." In other words, I never disowned them. I never kicked them to the curb. I never did any of that. Why? Because they are my children. But I was the first to say, "That's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be acting this way." Why? Because they needed to know the truth. Why? The truth, the Bible says, will set you free. But what happens is, in the society we live in now, what's taught is that if you love someone, you have to be accepting of the entire package. In other words, whatever they believe, however they think, whatever they do, that's okay. No, the Bible does not teach that. And the thing is, if we as parents or even friends of people walk around like that, we're diluting the real truth of Scripture. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to say something to, in a sense, as a counter to this. We need to be solid on the inside, but soft on the outside. Now, what do I mean by that? It means that you and I need to know the core faith of what we believe. We need to believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that there's no way unto the Father except for by Him. That's what Scripture says. And that needs to become a unmovable truth in you, a hard fact, a foundation stone that cannot be moved, right? Another one, you know, "For God so loved the world that He gave His Son, whoever believes in Him would not perish." So in other words, we understand that there is a heaven and a hell. There's a place where people can perish to, but there's also a heaven, a good place that God has for them. And again, that needs to be a solid truth within you. And you might think in your natural thinking, "But that doesn't seem very nice. God's a caring, loving God. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell." That's true. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. But they will go if they don't accept Jesus. It's that clear. And the thing is, we have to come to those solid truths that are unmovable in the core of our being, but that our outsides are soft. Well, what do I mean by that? Yeah. What it means is not being critical and judgmental. Let me use Scripture. Jesus is the living Word, isn't he? In fact, we can read in the Gospel of John, the beginning was the Word was with God. And then it goes on and talks about that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only one from above. And you go down a few more verses and it says this, the law came through Moses, so that's speaking the Old Testament, the law, in other words, judgment, criticalness, came through Moses. And then it says this, grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you think it's worded that way? Why didn't it just say truth came through Jesus? No, it said grace and truth. You know what that means is that when we're interacting with someone that doesn't believe the same as us or is maybe in sin or in error in some way, we're not pointing our finger at them and calling them a filthy, rotten sinner or telling them they're going to hell, but rather we're coming near them and we're saying, how can I help you? How can I pray for you? In other words, our core beliefs aren't going to be changed by their attitudes or their actions or what they believe or what they don't believe. But on the outside, we're soft. And I look at the life of Jesus, that's exactly who he was. The only people he yelled at were the Pharisees and the Sadducees who thought they knew God, who said they knew God, but were thinking their own way and not doing according to the truth of God's word. Everyone else, you had the worst of the sinners, you know, the people who were stealing money from people, you know, the prostitutes, you had adulterers, adulteresses, you know, you list all of those people. He never yelled at one of them. He never cussed them out. What he did, he come alongside of them, and he came and was with them with the soft part, the mercy side. And it doesn't mean that they didn't have to change, but what he came with was a message of love and of compassion and of mercy. And then out of that, the truth comes out, right? And that's what I mean by being hard on the inside, solid on the inside, but soft on the outside. That's the Jesus I know of the Bible that I read. But the thing is, because of the different people in our lives, we're impacted by the type of Jesus we believe in. And then here's what happens. If it's not the Jesus of the Word, when life gets difficult and your faith crumbles and you're like, God, where were you? You know, I believed that you were going to do, and he didn't. And the Lord says, well, that's not me. I'm over here. So you want to have a foundation that's based upon the Word of God. Amen? Okay, so with that in mind, how can we begin to acknowledge the truth in our lives? I've come to the point where I asked you, you know, is your thinking completely perfect? And all of us have agreed that it's not. So then how can we become open to the Word of God and His correction and His direction? And so I want to suggest just three quick points here to leave you with this morning. So the first one is ask questions. You know, don't be that person where somebody tells you something and they're like, no, you can't ask him. This is the way it is. That's not the God I know in the Bible. I saw his disciples ask Jesus questions all the time. Probably drove them crazy. But they asked questions and he answered them and tried to help them to understand. That's the God that I know of the Bible. That's the truth of God's word. Ask questions. So, for example, here I am. I'm talking to you. You came to church because you think you might learn something, I hope. And so the idea is you got a question after church, come and ask me. I may not know the answer. I'll look it up for you. I'll do what I can to help you discover what that answer should be. But you have to be willing to ask those questions. Ask questions about yourself. In other words, an event happens. Something happens, maybe with a family member or at work or at school, and it goes sideways. How many people have had some sideways things happen in their lives, right? Ask the Lord. God, why did that happen? You know, is my thinking not right here? Did I overstep? Did I not do what I was supposed to? Ask the question. God wants to come alongside of you and help you with this thing. Don't just kind of put your head down and just go, well, I guess that's the way it is. No. God wants to help you resolve any wrong thinking, any misdirection that's in your life. And so ask questions of the Lord. Ask questions of yourself. Ask questions of others. You know, I already mentioned you can talk to me, but there's other people in your life, you know, people who maybe know a little more than you in certain areas. Ask them. Most people are very happy to share what they have on the inside. So that's an important thing. Be willing and open to asking questions. The next one is this. Be willing to revisit what you believe. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm not saying that, you know, that you have these huge doubts, and you may, but that's not really what I'm talking about here. To revisit and solidify what you believe. In other words, to continually allow God's word to be speaking to you so that that foundation, that core, that hard part in you becomes more solid and grows more in your life. All right? It's just really important to continue to develop that. So, for example, you know, when I said Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes on the Father except for by him. That's John 14, verse 6. Well, he's saying three things, right? The way, truth, and life. We talked about the way already, right? That our thinking leads to different way. And the way means a road, right? A pathway. So Jesus says, I'm the pathway, right? The pathway to what? His next line is, I'm the truth. So he's the pathway to absolute, complete truth in your life. And then the last line is, he says, and I'm the life. Well, what does that scripture mean? All of a sudden now it takes on a deeper meaning, right? He's the pathway to the truth, which leads to life. And that's not life eternal. He's meaning life now. You know, the abundant kind of life. And so here's the thing. What do I mean by revisiting that? Well, when I memorized that scripture 25, 30 years ago, I didn't know all that. I just knew, hey, this sounds like a really good scripture. It says, I'm the way. Oh, way to the Father. Great. And then over time, I've allowed it to become more and more in my life. So that's what I mean by revisiting the truths and digging deeper wells and allowing more of the presence of the Lord to be a part of your understanding. So your core gets stronger. Because let me tell you something, the storms of life will come. Yep. How you doing? You know what I'm saying? They will come. There's a promise in Scripture. So the storms will come. And those that hear the word and obey, their foundation will stand. Their lives will stand. And for those that don't, their lives will get wiped out. That's what the word says. If you don't hear and do, then it will be damaged. And we don't want that. How many people want to have a solid life? You know, if Hurricane Lee was to come over us, thank God it missed us, right? But if it was, would your house stand? Would your life stand? And the hurricanes of life, they come and go, don't they? They're a part of life, and we want to be able to stand firm and solid for our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so the first point was ask questions. Second one was revisit what you believe. And in my notes here, I made the point, acknowledge that you're still in process. You know, that the idea is that you haven't arrived on any particular doctrine, that there's always room to deepen it, to have a better understanding of it, to adjust it as necessary. Amen? Okay, and the third point is this, and this is really important. Invite the right voices into your life. What do I mean by that? Well, the greatest voice of all is the Holy Spirit. Amen? And if you want to hear more of the Holy Spirit, then you need to allow God's word to be speaking to you. You need to be reading God's word, all right? You know, I say this a lot, that the vocabulary of the Spirit is the word of God. So as you allow God's word to permeate your life, reading on a regular basis, then you can hear from Jesus more easily. That's the reality of it. But what about the other voices? You know, we live in a multimedia age now where you can flip on Facebook and see all kinds of things. And you can see some pretty cool things. How many people have seen even on Facebook and other platforms where there's maybe like a scripture verse and maybe a little commentary? And they're pretty cool, right? How many people have read one of those at least, if not 100 of them, in your time? All right, yeah, I'm seeing some hands. Okay, so here's the thing, though. I want to tell you right now that something like that, here's what I equate it to. I equate it to a bag of chips. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, how many people eat bags of chips occasionally? You know, those little bags. All right. Yeah, everybody likes it. You're a pretzel guy. Okay. Well, you can make it whatever bag you want. But let me ask you this. If all you ate was that bag of chips or pretzels all the time, that was your food all the time, how would you feel after a couple days? Ooh. Yeah, good answer. Ooh. Because it's not healthy. Now, once in a while, a bag of chips is okay, right? To just have and a little snack, that's very nice. But here's the thing. If your diet of the voices in your life, especially in reading little things, is just that little devotional thing, whatever, that's a bag of chips. And if that's all you're eating, you will not be healthy in your spiritual walk. So what's the meat and potatoes of the voices? It's back to God's word. You have to go back to God's word yourself. You can't let somebody baby feed you with a spoon all the time. It's okay. You know, you're here listening to me. I hope that your God experience is not just Sunday morning with us for an hour. Amen. Man, that's not good. You know, at best, what I can do is inspire you and encourage you to go back to the Scriptures, to go back to God's Word, to go back to the living Jesus. You know why Christianity has lasted as long as it has and it's going to last until Jesus returns? You know why? It's because we have the source material book. You know, there's other religions out there and they're evolving and changing all the time. Why? Why? Because they don't have the source. We have God's Word given to us, passed down to us, that we can keep going back to. And that's the healthiest thing. And that's the meat and potatoes of your life. Bag of chips once in a while, have at it. It's not going to hurt you at all. And it might encourage you, inspire you to go back to the Word, to research whatever you read, you know, in that. But I encourage you, have the meat and potatoes of life. That needs to be your primary voice. But there are other voices. And I encourage you to have ear gates and eye gates in whatever you're allowing into your life. You know, there's lots of good preachers out there and teachers and books that have been written. Lots of good things. But can I tell you something? There's lots of bad things as well. And you need to take it back to God's Word. And if it's heresy, if it's a bit twisted, if it's not quite right, maybe it's tickling your ears, but your heart doesn't feel right. Don't listen to it. Shut it off. Turn the channel. Do whatever you've got to do. But always go back to God's Word, all right? I just encourage you with that. So just reviewing, right? We've got asking questions. Be open to do that. Revisit what you believe. Solidify more and more as each day goes by in your life. And finally, invite the right voices into your life. And I want to tell you something. The primary voice is the voice of Jesus. You know, to allow His Holy Spirit to speak to you, to bring comfort and direction and guidance. Amen? Let's stand together. And I'm going to ask you a question. And again, this is not a trick question. But I want you to be honest. I'm reminding you that you are in church, okay? And this is the question. Do you at times... Now, this isn't a trick question. I just want your honesty. Do you at times disagree with what God's Word says? In other words, your thinking is not the same as God's Word, and you disagree with it. Just put your hand up. I appreciate your honesty. My hand's up as well. You can put your hand down. And really, this is good. Now, here's why. Let me tell you something. There are individuals, Christians, that will actually say, no, I don't disagree with God's Word. But what they'll do is take God's Word and twist it and manipulate it and bring it in and say, see, I think like this. And here's God's Word to prove it. But you, by putting your hand up, is saying, no, my thinking isn't the same as God's Word. Can I tell you that acknowledging the truth is step one to being transformed by the truth? This is a good thing. Now, if you come next week, we'll talk about actually walking in the truth. But that's another conversation. But right now, you've said, look, I got issues. And that's okay. Let me tell you something. God wants to help you with this. And if you're willing, He will help you. Are you open to the truth? You see, Jesus came as a witness to the truth. And the truth, the Bible says, will set you free. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, you saw those hands raised where they're like, hey, I got issues with your word. I got issues with your absolute truth. Help me. Lord God, I pray for each person that put their hand up here and those watching online that were just honest and just saying, look, I'm struggling with what your word says compared to what I believe. My experience is different from the word. My feelings and emotions are different from what the word says. Lord, I need your help. And right now, I come before you, and Lord, we all come before you, and we just say, Lord, help us in these areas. Help us to have clarity of thinking. For Lord God, your ways are higher than our ways. Our thoughts, our thinking is higher. It's supposed to be higher. And Lord, we're in the pits with some of this stuff. Our ways and our thoughts are not yours. And so, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, we ask that our thoughts would be your thoughts. That our ways would be your ways. And we know that it won't happen just overnight with a click of a finger or a wave of a wand or anything like that. But it's a process. But Lord God, I pray right now that you would begin that process in us. As you reveal the biblical Jesus to us. As you reveal the truths of your word to us. That we will see that it leads to life. And so, Lord, we accept that And we ask for your help and your guidance by that voice, that still small voice on the inside, the voice of your Holy Spirit, to guide and direct us in your word. So bless each one today. Lord God, I pray that we're continually asking questions, Lord God, seeking your face, Lord God, that we're building our belief system, Lord, and we're watching and guarding our ear gates and eye gates to the voices that permeate our lives. We give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you this morning.